Okay, my goal is to have you be able to see me more than just my head. I've never approved of talking heads. I like interactive learning, so part of that is having you be able to see me. I'm quite intimidated by the august body with whom I'm speaking. I do not have a doctorate. I have been involved in program operations for the last 30 years in public health. And what I happened on when I transitioned into my new position just 6 months ago was to find that a two-year process had been completed, the results of which were placed in my lap and said, here, go forth and do it. And so what I'm going to tell you about today is evidence-based in the sense that we're moving forward based on what we understand of best practices. But I am going to be providing the flavor of how it plays out with staff, with contractors, with partners and stakeholders. And it's not over. So when you see me at future meetings, you can feel free to approach me and say, so how's it going this year? Because the story's not over. I have no relationships to disclose. So I don't need to put a bunch of facts and figures in front of you. We've all seen those CDC maps that show, and California is about in the middle. We're not the best, but we're not the worst. And given the almost 38 million in population and the great cultural diversity in the state, that's both good and obviously presents challenges. What you're seeing in this map of California is our regions within WeWork, and there's geographic and geopolitical similarities within each of those regions. So here was the opportunity. The Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act in California contained a surprise clause. It's supposed to reauthorize child nutrition and WIC, and all of a sudden here appeared this thing about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, education. And it completely changed the design of the program. Now, many advocates had worked hard with USDA to try to bring about these changes. And it may have been a case of be careful what you ask for, you might get it. I don't know, because I wasn't around then. But it changed the funding formula for the SNAP Ed program, continues nutrition education, but adds an emphasis on obesity prevention, expands the scope of activity from straight, you know, county nutrition education contacts to structural and interventions to bring about positive changes in the community. It also, however, changed the funding formula away from generate as much match as you can and the money will continue to come to a capped grant that USDA encouraged states to allocate based on the SNAP Ed population in the state. So that was the clause that brought about a lot of other changes in the course of the planning. California began very early to begin the conceptual process of this change and set forth three major goals for the SNAP Ed to NEOP transition, as we came to call it. First of all, the program is about low-income families, and since health equity is a major priority for our public health department, it was important to emphasize that. The second goal, and this was key to what became the funding issues later on in the process, is the priority was to create a long-lasting infrastructure within the state for nutrition education and obesity prevention. Funding sources come and go. The grant for California is now capped and is projected to decrease over the next five federal fiscal years. And so we want at the same time to use the short-term increase in funds to make the capital investment, if you will, on an infrastructure that will outlast the peaking and preserve through the declining funds in the future. The third and final goal is to create local community structures which can bring about changes in environments to enable people to make it easy to make the right choices. So the step-by-step process that we went to, I'm going to walk you through, and it also was researched and based on evidence, but this is how it rolled out. First of all, there was a literature review done on change process and generating input on strategic planning. And the first phase that was carried out, therefore, was to convene high-level experts to guide the process. We formed a think tank, as it was called, of academic experts, some major stakeholders. The attempt was to try to bring together people who had no financial stake in the process, but who had experience in nutrition and obesity prevention and could guide the priorities for the movement. There were some key funded stakeholders in the group, but it was not primarily that. It was primarily people who could guide the process. It also became clear early on that the federal government was not going to be putting out regulations based on the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act in time for this process to start. California made the decision not to wait for the regulations. In hindsight, that was a really good idea. For those of you that aren't associated with the program, they're still not out, even though the law required it by January of 2012. So the decision was made to proceed with the think tank, and although the emphasis is on low-income residents, the process ended up being, let's have this be a planning process for all of nutrition education and obesity prevention in California. And we ended up bringing in people from community transformation grants, CDC-funded projects. We brought in the California Obesity Prevention Plan, which is a major statewide document produced several years ago, also with the advice of academic and experts from the field. And so it kind of got larger. And that was a good thing in hindsight. The charge for this think tank was to select three priorities from the California Obesity Prevention Plan that NEOP would work on for the first, say, five-year plan. Also to provide guidance for all Department of Public Health obesity prevention programs, not just SNAP-Ed. And thirdly, to provide that guidance recognizing what we understand of USDA and CDC guidance and regulations and policy regarding how programs will be implemented. So those limitations were taken into account, but it was still a statewide planning process. So here was the timeline, and you'll see without being able to read the small print from the back of the room that it was a year-long process. We engaged a lot of people. We hit the road. California is a large state. We accommodated rural people and people from distant areas of the state by conducting a series of webinars. So we had several of them, and these were sessions when we both explained what we were doing or trying to do and gathered input from people who could not travel. We also had several key regions around the state. If you go back to that map at the beginning of my presentation, we had a meeting in Los Angeles, we had a meeting in Sacramento, we had a meeting in Fresno, we had a meeting in the Bay Area, so that people from as many opportunities for people around the state. California sponsors the California Childhood Obesity Prevention Conference, which was in Los Angeles that year, and we had a special breakout session at that conference for people who wanted to come and provide input. So there were multiple opportunities for people who were interested in the process to meet and provide stakeholder guidance. So it was important to keep people focused on the statewide vision. It was important to keep people recognizing the fact that although the instigator of this process was the changes to SNAP-Ed in the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, it was not the sole and guiding purpose. The reason for that, as you'll see, is there were a lot of winners and losers in the process as it ended up being. And we had to keep people focused on the overarching principles in order not to have it degenerate, if you will, into a discussion of who's going to get the money and who's not going to get the money. So it was important to have a set of guiding principles guiding the process. And these were briefly, and there's a handout that will be available online for those of you that want to access this session after the conference. Achieve equity by focusing on low-income Californians. The interventions recommended must be evidence-based or evidence-informed. Let's work on interventions that are as upstream, as we say, in the public health process as USDA and other regulations will allow. We want interventions that are cross sectors in the community, schools, retail, various venues. We want diverse voices and perspectives, including youth. We want as much local flexibility as possible. And keep in mind, for those of you from out of state, California is a very decentralized state in terms of public health. The health department exerts leadership, but does not control what our 61 local health jurisdictions do. So there's a lot of local determinants of what happens, and we want to grant those entities as much flexibility as possible. And we also want to leverage resources with our partners who are also charged with providing nutrition, education, healthy choices, physical activity, and for obesity prevention. So the three priorities, back up a little bit, just to see quickly, our stakeholders were largely from local health departments and schools, universities, social services agencies. There was a wide diversity of people who participated. Here were the three priority areas that were selected. Increase access of and consumption of healthier foods, decrease consumption of unhealthy food and beverages, increase consumption of water, and increase physical activity opportunities throughout the day. So in the scope of work we developed for the grants for local health departments, these were the main areas that people are being asked to focus on. So we had a three-year Department of Public Health, Nutrition Education and Obesity Prevention three-year implementation plan. It was presented at our network-wide meeting in March of this year to all of our partners. And if you're interested in seeing the final product, the link to that document is at the bottom of this slide. It's not too long. It's about 12 or 15 pages and walks through the process that we went into. For the benefit of all of you here who may be thinking at some point of undergoing this kind of process, I'd like to talk about where we hit up against the bigger bumps in the road and how we met those challenges. There was a strong balance that we needed to maintain, and it was very tricky. We wanted to ensure that our stakeholder interests were heard and taken into consideration. But we also, because of the magnitude of the change, needed to consider very strongly unbiased input, as I said earlier, input that was not based on the fact that I may be losing funds or I may stand to gain funds. There was a strong urge for process transparency, and yet at the same time, the ultimate end goal of this planning process was that we were going to put out requests for applications and contract applications, and that operates under strict confidentiality rules within state departments. So at what point do you have to kind of close the door and stop being transparent? And believe me, we were criticized very strongly for not being transparent. And I'll talk a little more about that. We want to maintain successful local programs that have been successful over the past 15 years in California, and I know many of you here are very aware of our many successes over the past 15 years. And at the same time, what was evident is that some local areas, by being able to generate lots and lots of match, were getting many, many, many dollars per SNAP recipient to do education, whereas other counties in the state had zero funds or very little funds per SNAP resident to do the same education. And so while we want to maintain the most successful of our programs, it's very important to distribute the funding according to the SNAP eligible population. And those are contradictory goals. They don't match. So then we got to the funding decisions. And I'm saving the last 2 minutes for the hardest part. This is the point where our department, very high up people, got engaged. So this program alone in public health, plus the WIC program, both USDA funded programs, are 65% of the funding in the Department of Public Health. And there are over 200 programs. So that gives you an idea of the magnitude and the visibility of these two USDA-funded programs. And when the funded started, when the funding formula, the concept was done, this is where I walked in the door, where the funding decisions. And all of it, and very quickly, people that we thought had understood that money was going to go away from some people and be distributed on a population-based basis, all of a sudden they're calling, I mean, people were literally calling the governor's office. And so, and we weren't quite prepared for this part, but the decisions ended up being made at very high levels, and program staff were allowed input, but we did not make the final decisions. Because this is a very large part of money, relatively speaking. And so, anyway, I'll tell you what it ended up with. This was the difference between the conceptual transition that my predecessors, and I haven't acknowledged Peggy Agron, Valerie Quinn, and Emily Perez, who did the monumental part of the work under the leadership of Dr. Kathleen Acree and Dr. Linda Rudolph to make this process happen. I am really just the mouthpiece of a year and a half of their work, and so proud to represent them. What happened as a result, as the hitting the wall between concept and reality, is we were going to make the transition in October of this year, and the whole thing is deferred another full year. So the true change is happening in October of 2013. All the current contractors that got money as a result of generating match will get their full dollar amount this year, and the county health departments are going to get an initial allotment to build up infrastructure. But starting in 2014, a lot of our school-based entities are going to have to apply for subcontracts through the local health departments, and there just won't be as much money there as there has been. And we're spending this year to roll out that new infrastructure to build up the county funding. Counties are statutorily mandated, so whatever happens to NEOP funding down the road, there's an infrastructure there to support local entities. And that was one of the key reasons why we want to fund infrastructure through local health departments. Here are the lessons we learned. They were difficult lessons, and I'm sure people in this room will learn them again. We know that change is difficult. I don't know how it could have been communicated when it's conceptual that this is not going to be easy. We're experiencing it now internally with staff and externally with our stakeholders, that they're just now absorbing the fact that the whole system is going to operate differently, and it's very difficult. It is impossible to over-communicate. So often, and I've experienced this more than once in change management, you think, we don't have anything to say, so why should we put something out when we haven't made the decisions yet? And honestly, I have yet to hear of a change process where someone actually every week sent out an email communication to all their stakeholders saying, no, we haven't made the decision yet, but we're still working on it. We'll still let you know as soon as we have. What the perception was from the field is that the Department of Public Health went into a black hole. The whole thing closed up, information was shut off, and no one knew what was going on. We thought we had communicated really well through the conceptual transition what had happened, but then when the funding changes happened, we had to stay quiet because of that contracting issue. The other thing, and then I'm told to end, is that when you're sharing bad news with stakeholders, it really helps, number one, to be empathetic, and number two, to share the rationale. I conducted this conference call earlier this month with all of our partners statewide. There were over 100 people on the conference call, and I was the one that had to explain how it was going to work and that people were going to lose funding. But a lot of people got around to me later and said, at least we understand why. It doesn't mean we're happy, but we understand what your thinking was. So here's how you contact me if you have questions. And as I say, the story's not over. We'll find out.